talk to me. She looks around her world. A friend to speak, she seeks. She is a broken girl, scared, confused, and meek. The ones she finds around mock her and push her away. She cries but makes no sound. In this life, she has no say. Thoughts run in her head. They want to shout and bounce and jump. She holds them tight instead. In her soul, they form a lump. She resolves she needs nobody, no friend to laugh or to speak. She can live without the gulls that cause her heart to shriek. They call her when they need, and her heart swells with joy. And then it feeds her greed, a greed that only destroys the pieces of soul that's left inside her head. When she realizes they are cold, she'd crave their warmth instead. It's at the very zenith now, her need to voice, to breathe. A moon among the stars above, she screams inside, out she seethes. She slams the doors with force, she pushes the chairs away. There they form a crowd, she must be crazy, they say. The tears, they fall a stream, she takes a fathomless breath. Then she shrieks, she howls, she cries, and falls unto her death. She must have kept so much inside, it must have been so hard. They pity her soul for days, for her body now lays charred. Next week, they are on their way, just one quiet girl less. If only she'd spoken before, there wouldn't be such a mess. But I know the shadowy truth. I know she'd cried. Her voice unheard, her tears unseen, until the day she died. A melange of outpourings, stories on human emotions. Founder, Captain Sahana Sundar. Editor, Shrabanti Ray. Founder's page. Someone has rightly said that the emotions that can break your heart is sometimes the very one that heals it. What makes us human? What makes us different than other living beings? You guessed it right. Emotions. Our emotions set us apart, lend us that human quotient. All our emotions have a significance in our lives, even those which are troublesome. So what do you do? Put them under lock and key? Ignore them and completely blank them out, or be at their mercy? The onus is on you. I, myself, experience a complete gamut of human emotions, especially in distressful times. Over a span of time, I have come to the conclusion that the best way to experience catharsis is to write about them. As a founder of Spark, Igniting Minds, I commissioned this book, which is a compendium of write-ups, some essays, some anecdotes, some fictional, all neatly compiled and edited by Shrabanti Ray from Bangalore. A beloved friend and member of Spark, Shrabanti has used the best of her editing skills to bring forward a book where every write-up talks to you, converses with you. Reading this book is like deja vu. You will experience every human emotion, in fact, experience life all over again. Sahana Sundar, founder, Spark Igniting Minds. From the editor's desk, Shrabanti Ray. I thank thee, friend, for the beautiful thought, that in words well chosen, thou gavest to me. Deep in the life of my soul it has wrought, with its own rare essence to ever imbue me. To gleam like a star over Davis ways, to bloom like a flower on the terraced days. Better such gift from thee to me than gold of the hills or pearls of the sea. By Lucy Maud Montgomery. According to author David G. Mears, human emotions involve psychological, arousal, expressive behaviors, and conscious experience. Positive emotions such as joy, love, inspiration, awe, gratitude, hope, and pride lead to powerful affirmations. They are intertwined with our mood, disposition, and personality. Negative emotions in the form of jealousy, ego, frustration, anger, and hopelessness pave the way to distress and depression. Of late, they have successfully penetrated into the crevices of rapid urbanization. Veraciously speaking, emotions define one's congruity. The human mind is the source for such outflowing. Our emotions, irrespective of their nature, design and fashion us into what we wish to be. It is about influencing ourselves to oblige and surrender responsibility without much botheration of the consequences. The marvels of nature generously infuse feelings of gratefulness as we celebrate the resplendence of gratitude. We acknowledge and agglomerate profound appreciation for someone or something. Selfless acts manifesting genuine admiration and recognition, unequivocally revealing in the euphoria and awe of it. Gratitude affirms hope, light, and confidence. The book, A Melange of Outpourings, is a candid revelation of some soul-stirring personal stories and a few fictional telltales by the prolific writers of Spark. My heart beams in gratitude for Sahana Sundar, the gallant captain of the sailing ship Spark, and its adventurous sailors navigating the uncharted regions. Ahoy, together we sail in merriment. Petit beaucoup de gentillesse, a little bouquet of kindness, thrive on the beauty of one's choice of thoughts. It's time we condition our conscience and allow self-empowerment to face the arc lights of fame through relevant thankful syndromes. Let's proliferate our blessings and remain grateful ever.
Happiness Inside by Hitanshi Bhuta. Anju looked out of the window of the Coffee Day outlet. The sun was about to set. With a sad voice, she whispered, "I'm defeated, Manju." "Manju, gently it all. I'm there with you. We will make it happen." Many years ago, Ganesh was a simple professor teaching literature at a government college in a small town. His wife passed away after a long medical treatment and left a little girl of two named Anju behind. It was difficult for Ganesh to manage the house and take up the responsibility of the upbringing of a little girl. So he got married to a village belle, Lakshmi. Soon they were blessed with two children. One was daughter Manju and the youngest was her son Ashok. Ganesh was always busy with his work, as it was becoming difficult to manage three children and provide them with best education. On the other side, little Anju was craving for mother's love. Lakshmi would often differentiate in showering her love among the children, with Anju getting a minor share compared to her siblings. She spent many nights crying in the room alone, while her little sister would keep watching her, quietly standing beside the door. but both could never develop a strong bond as sisters. Sometimes it was Manju's fear of her mother, while at the other times it was Anju's spiteful words. With the passage of time, they grew up. Manju was rejected by her sisters Maisri. One day, she mustered up her courage and decided to talk to her Di. She sat beside her and put her little hand on Anju's shoulder. "Di, don't cry so hard. One day, Mummy will realize that you are the best daughter she's got." Anju looked at her little sister and spoke with anger filling her voice. "She's your mom, not mine. You and I don't have any relation, so don't call me Di. I am nothing to you. Some things never change in life. However hard you try, the best you do is just not enough. That hurts. God has never been kind to me. She took my mom away." Again she started crying. Manju knew she had to comfort her sister. She spoke in a sad voice. "No, Di, you will always be my Di. Though our mothers are different, our father is the same. Has never differentiated between us. We have the same lifestyle, education and everything else. Ashok and I love you, Di. You cannot punish us because of mom's behavior." Wiping her tears, Anju left the room, unable to express her feelings in words. Many years passed. Manju tried to bridge the gap between Anju and her, but she was rejected each time. One evening, after completing her work, Lakshmi went to the room where Ganesh was reading a book and Ashok was busy in his studies. She had the best opportunity to tell him what was running in her mind. "Today, my auntie called. They have a good marriage proposal for Manju. The boy is a manager in a good company. His future is bright and he has a good chance to shift abroad, as the company has branches in other countries." Ganesh closed the book and looked at Lakshmi, as if she had spoken the unspeakable. When he spoke, his voice was sterner than he had anticipated. "Anju is elder than Manju. I can't think about Manju until Anju gets married." He paused for a while, trying to regain his usual composure, and then began. "Look, Lakshmi, in our caste, dowry is a major problem. I have limited savings. Ashok is too young. I have to support him to complete his engineering. I don't know how I will be able to manage the marriage of two girls at one time." Quietly, but with haste, Lakshmi went out of the room. She had a long conversation with her auntie over the phone. Next day, in the morning, she went to Ganesh and explained diplomatically on how they could save dowry money. She told him how things would be smooth sailing after Anju's marriage. If they got married, her to Satish, who according to Lakshmi was merely 13 years older than Anju. After a lot of discussion and contemplation in the family and with other close relatives, Lakshmi was successful in fixing Anju's marriage with Satish. She succeeded in getting her daughter Manju engaged to Prashant. The proposal sent forth by her aunt. To save money, they decided to get both the daughters married on the same day under one roof. Anju was very sad with the arrangements and lost her charm once she set her eyes on her future husband. Manju was going through dual feelings at the same time. There was happiness for her new life and the feeling of helplessness at the injustice being shown towards her sister. When she had the opportunity, Manju went to Anju. With worry and concern, she spoke to her sister, "Di, please don't carry any negative thoughts. God might have planned something good for you." Dejected and filled with anger, Anju let her fury run over. It is easy to lecture on positivity when your life is moving on to safer lands. "This is an injustice being done to me, which I have to endure. Why do I have to suffer always?" She hid her face as tears poured down her eyes. Her heart was questioning the superior power as to why she was always the sufferer. Lakshmi's brother respected Ganesh, so he gifted both the couples a honeymoon package to Shimla for 8 days. Ganesh and Lakshmi felt that their duties were over now, but they didn't know that what God had planned for them and what was knocking at their door. Anju and Manju were sitting on the sofa of a hotel in Shimla. Satish and Prashant were busy chatting with each other while moving around the garden of the hotel. Manju started the conversation naughtily. "Dee, so how was your first night?" With angry eyes, Anju turned to her sister and spoke in a distraught manner. "I knew that you will not leave a single chance to let me down, just like your mother. What is it? Has your mother told you to count my pain and suffering so that she can sleep in peace?" She looked at Satish with angry eyes while she uttered, "And Satish took advantage of my situation." Manju tried to control the pain that rose in her throat and eyes. She tried to calm herself. She felt she had done wrong by asking. She stammered, "No, Dee, please, Dee. Dee, please, listen. I want you to know I can never hurt you. It is true that Mom succeeded in her tricks, but you need to calm your mind and hope that something good will happen to you. Satish may be older by age, but he looks so handsome. Even young guys can't beat him. He's highly qualified and seems supportive. Look at the way he always takes care of you. The most important thing is that his eyes show how much he loves you. Dee, you've suffered a lot for love. Don't you think God has gifted you with this? He's well-mannered, decent, and has a good job. What else would you want? You never know what is next, so be happy with what destiny has offered you. Trust me, miracles do happen." Anju was filled with anger. She gave Manju a piece of her mind. "Miracles happen? Huh, really, it happens with me all the time. Losing my mother was a miracle. Getting a woman like your mom in my life? Indeed, that must have been God's biggest blessing." Turning hard to stop the tears in her eyes, she spoke in a gritty manner. "Getting married to an old man is fun, right? I can't take him to meet my friends. They will laugh at me. How can you love a person who looks like your uncle? How good has life been to me? I don't know what wrong I've done. Your God always seems to be punishing me." Manju felt sorry for her sister and tried to comfort her. "Dee, this is just a beginning. Give time to life. I believe that one day you will be proud of Satish." Anju was not ready to listen and be comforted. It is easy to say when you have everything of your choice. Unable to see her sister so broken, Manju spoke, "Who knows what destiny has chosen for me, Dee?" Taking a deep breath, Anju reiterated, "You have a mother who'd do anything for your future. One thing is for sure, I'm not going to forgive anything. I will avenge all the injustice done to me. My silence will speak in future. I was forced into this marriage. Even Satish is responsible. Why did he agree in spite of a gap in our ages? He and his family will also pay for this." Manju tried to reason out with her sister. "If Satish had refused, don't you think Mom would have brought in some else for you? Don't play with your life, Dee." Anju walked off ignoring Manju like the times she had when they sat for a discussion earlier. Manju was right. You never know the ups and downs of life. A new turn of events was waiting for both the sisters. They reached home and started their new lives. Anju showed her frustration to Satish and his mom. She never took any initiative to help her mother-in-law in household chores. The elderly lady was always kind to her and ignored her mistakes, while Anju tried her best to harass her. She never mingled with the relatives or neighbors. Her mother-in-law tried to explain to her that all these people were her relatives now, but all advices and words fell on deaf ears. She insulted Satish's sister and their family so much that they stopped talking to her. Many times, Satish tried to talk to her, but she took it as a chance to fight, and he ended up keeping quiet. Satish's mother was disappointed by her behavior and started getting depressed. On the other side, Manju faced a lot. Her whole world came crumbling down. A few days after they had returned from their honeymoon, she was busy arranging her pictures in the album. Prashant entered the room and looked anxious. Manju tried to change his mood. "Have you seen Dee and Jiju in this picture? They look perfect together, don't you?" The look on Prashant's face worried her. "What happened, Prashant? Why are you so worried?" Struggling with his thoughts, Prashant finally spoke. "I want to share something with you." The pictures in Manju's hands fell and scattered on the floor as she feared something bad was coming up. With a soft voice, she asked, "What, Prashant? Tell me." Prashant sat down on a chair. "Manju, I don't want you to be in darkness now. I have been in a relationship with a girl called Julie. We met at a conference. We have been in love for the last 2 years. Julie wants to make a career for herself, so we are not getting married now, but we stay in the flat given to her by the company. Knowing about this relationship, my sister's family stopped sending her to our place. They wanted her to break ties with us, so my mother wanted me to get married to some girl who belonged to our caste. I married you only for the sake of my mother. But I won't be able to continue this anymore. I can't leave Julie. I will send money to you and Amma regularly. Hope you understand. You're a sensible girl." Manju was unable to clear her mind with anger lurking behind the tears. She retorted, "Does being sensible means keeping quiet? You could have been clear about this and should have informed my father before marriage. How could you spoil the life of another person?" Stopping her from raising her voice, Prashant spoke again. "Do you think anyone would agree to marry me if I were to tell the truth?" Before Manju could realize what was happening, Prashant took the bag which seemed to have been packed in advance and walked out. Manju was speechless. She called her father and told him everything. Helpless due to the pressures of the society and other baseless myths and thoughts, her parents left her and went back, loading her with meaningless blessings. A few days later, she came to know she was pregnant. Manju didn't know whether to celebrate the moment or cry. Many thoughts came to her mind. Slowly, she accepted the trial set before her by life and started adapting to the challenges. She started developing a good bond with her mother-in-law. She kept calling her sister-in-law regularly. Everything with everyone else remained the same. On the other side, Anju too got pregnant, but she created a lot of tension in the house. She attempted to kill herself so Satish would be scared and terrified. He kept a nurse for her while her mother-in-law was running the household despite her old age. She kept on spreading negativity in the house by her pointless arguments. Both the sisters were under one roof after a long time for garb sanskar vidhi at their father's place. Anju was pampered by Satish and his family, especially her mother-in-law. Manju was standing with her old mother-in-law. Again, she tried to convince her sister that she was lucky and to accept life as it is. Every problem has to end somewhere, but Anju paid no heed and was on her way with great pride. Both the sisters gave birth to baby boys. Anju kept on pouring her negativity in the little mind of her son. She never allowed him to have a strong bond within the family or with friends. Her behavior hurt Satish's mother often, and the stress and strain resulted in her getting a paralytic attack. Satish had to manage the money matters, which became difficult day by day. Anju never bothered to see how he struggled. trying to balance the expenses of his wife, son, and the health issues of his mother. Satish sold his village property and shifted to a small house, but Anju never supported him or his decisions. After the death of Satish's mother, she never invited anyone at home, nor would she allow anyone to visit them. Her son Rafi was passing a quiet and silent life. He never played with the children of his age. His parents and their relationship made him think negatively about any relationship on earth. On the other hand, Manju was calm and composed. She managed to build good relationships with her sister-in-law's family. She brought up her son Rajesh in such a way that he never felt the need of his father, who was not with him. Prashant visited them, but only for his mother. He never bothered to have a look at his son. Days passed into years, but Manju kept hoping to get her husband back. One night, Prashant came home with his bags. His mother and Manju were shocked to see him walk in unexpectedly. They had a silent family dinner. After a few moments of silence, he spoke, "Amma, Manju." There were tears in his eyes and his head was bowed down. Julie decided to get married to the CEO of her company. His mother was not able to control her happiness. Prashant expressed his guilt and negligence towards his family, but he also explained that he couldn't work in the same firm anymore. With the limited savings that they had, they were going to start a new life. Manju accepted it all because somewhere in her heart she was happy to see her husband back. She explained the things to her son Rajesh about his father. Slowly the coldness receded and the father and son relationship started to thaw. In a few months they could not hide the love they had for each other. They supported each other and managed to settle down things and their financial situation became better. Their son started helping Prashant in the new business. Gradually, Prashant gained a respectable social status because of his wife, Manju, and her sacrifices. Prashant's love and respect for his wife doubled. Her mother-in-law was very happy to see love and happiness in the family. She was now making big plans for her grandson's wedding. One day, Manju and Anju accidentally met at a shopping mall. Anju was hiding herself from her sister. Manju, with her usual kindness and love, felt happy to see her sister. They sat at the coffee shop to chat. As Anju discontinued her relations with all, Manju was completely unaware of what had happened in her life. Anju's son Ravi had decided to leave the house and was not ready to get married to any girl because of the issues he saw at home between his parents. Now Anju wanted him to come back and help his father in the business. She wanted him to return and take care of his parents, but it was too late. Anju looked out of the window of the coffee day outlet. The sun was about to set. With a sad voice she whispered, "I'm defeated, Manju." Manju gently held Anju's hand in hers. "No, Dee, it's never too late. You're a strong woman. You will get through it all. I'm there with you. We will make it happen." With tears in her eyes, Anju asked her little sister, "Why do we never get anything at the right time? Why do we complicate things and take the long way to attain that particular thing which was with us all the time?" Manju smiled and tried to answer her sister. "We all want happiness on our conditions. We are not ready to have patience in life. It is nature's law that whatever you get, you have to pay for it. But in relationships, we only want, and that too on our conditions. You bound your happiness with the conditions of age between you and your husband. A mother tied it to the security for her children. Prashant wanted glamour and fame. We all know, yet we turn a blind eye to the fact that we get everything on the basis of our karma. But we all run after something which probably is written in someone else's destiny. If we accept what we get and try to make the best of it, life will become so beautiful. We, women, have the power to make the best out of the limited resources which we have, but we don't know how to use our own talent. She let Anju take in the words and continued, Dee, don't think so much. Nothing has been lost that cannot be recovered. Let's have a family gathering with my family, your family, our brother Ashoka's family, Ma and Papa. Ravi will change. Rajesh is his brother. I will talk to him. Let them develop a bond and share their thoughts. Let them connect, and I'm sure he will be able to bring a change in Ravi's views. Anju was speechless. The girl whom she always ignored today was giving her entire life back to her with the same love and concern radiating from her face and heart.
And I Fell in Love by Mukesh Mehta. Shanti has been doing household work since she was 15. Her mother Santoshi inducted her into this organized profession from a very early age, when she used to take Shanti along with her to different houses where she used to work. She used to watch her mother washing dirty utensils, mopping floor and dusting the expensive sofas and furniture. She used to watch her mother intently while Santoshi gave her assuring smiles throughout. To ensure that Shanti would not be worried about her mother getting tired after working so hard. She had two more sisters. Madhu was 2 years younger, while Sudha was 7 years younger than Shanti. It often seemed from the conversation one had with Shanti and Sudha, the youngest one was conceived by the couple thinking that a Shyam would arrive in the family. Kedar was the head of the family, with loads of hormonal surge in his blood and a rough temperament. If one has to learn how an emotion and situation can be turned into a negative one, a brief interaction with Kedar would be of great help. It can equip one with all necessary perspectives to turn happy hours into unhappy hours. Santoshi had been putting up with all this for the last 20 years from the time she got married to Kedar. He was the driver for the family where she used to work. He had promised to make her life easy, with him being in the driver's seat. The ride indeed started with ephemeral romantic outings, but soon they got dissolved in the acidic realities of bad habits and the unpredictable temperament of Kedar. I am not sure whether it was the passionate love of Kedar towards Santoshi or the suppressed frustration of his own inabilities to make it big in life, which led to 3 new lives coming into this world. It is also an irony of nature that the most complex process of creating a new life is so easy. If it had been difficult, I am sure people would have entered into this process after a lot of thinking and preparation. If it had required a lot of hard work, it would have been a blessing, and a passionate moment or a fit of rage wouldn't have been capable of bringing a new life into the vicissitudes of the life. Santoshi never realized if she was a willing partner in increasing the size of her family, but her indirect references to certain conversations always hinted that she was living with a sense of guilt for bringing her daughters into her difficult world. At present, she has developed a reputation of being a dependable and no-nonsense domestic help. Regular in her work, she keeps quiet and doesn't interfere in the family dynamics of her employers. She also doesn't give any opportunity to the lady of the house to feel insecure by her presence in front of the family's male head. She's sought after by many in the building and has always been in a position to choose her employers. No doubt, she has become a consistent source of income for the family, and Kedar's worry of life and survival has been reduced to a great extent. Ever since their marriage, it is Santoshi who brings merriment home, as Kedar has alcohol and Santoshi within his reach.
Time passes by. Shanti, being the first child of the family, was admitted in a nearby municipality school. I remember the pride on Santoshi's face when she used to tell me that she is coming to work after dropping her child at school. It was the same pride that some high-end office-going colleague would possess while he or she shared information about the camera-equipped crèches and playgroups where they used to drop their children before coming to office. The case was a bit different here for her, as she had to come back home, cook food for her mother and sometimes for Kedar, which he used to ask for after returning early from his evening pursuits of alcohol sessions. Time had left its footprints in Santoshi's life now. The family was probably complete after the arrival of Madhu and Sudha. Shanti was in class 9 and was preparing for her board examinations, with sparkles of hope in her eyes to get a job in some shopping mall, in security or parking department. Silver shined on the hairline of Santoshi, aging gradually. Kedar's quirkiness further increased and intensified. Santoshi was well versed in dealing with him and taught all her daughters how to manage Kedar and themselves. Probably, it was her way of training them for their future. She was always a far-sighted woman. Wisdom is one's ability to navigate through the situations of life, and Santoshi seemed to be blessed by God as she possessed loads of it. Her poise and steadfastness was always unnerving for me in all good and not so good times of her family life. It would be fair to say that she had more of not so good times told out to her by Mother Fortune. Then that fateful Sunday came. Santoshi was standing at the door of my flat with her army of daughters, Shanti, Sudha and Madhu. She appeared to be fatigued with the impact of time written all over her face in the form of wrinkles. But the sparkle in her eyes was still intact, despite the sadness and the trepidations life had put her through. As I had a look at the girls, I realized Shanti was a replica of her mother Santoshi. Dressed like her, with the typical style of clothing cladding, her full body covering it from every possible unwanted glare, while she moved around in a shopping mall or worked at few households, so that she could pay the fees for Sudha and Madhu. She had left her studies just before her examinations because Kedar was diagnosed with tuberculosis and his employer had removed him from his job due to the fear, as it is a contagious disease. This went on for long as Kedar never fully recovered. Being a carrier of this disease ensured that he remained unemployed since then till today. He still sits at home and waits for this army of females to take care of him and themselves in this uncooperative world. He has been so lucky. Indeed, the girl gang has been taking good care of him all while. Santoshi shared that she came to see me when she learned that I was in the town for a short trip. I learned how Shanti had to leave her education to support her mother in household work, and to ensure that her younger sisters could go to school and dream of a better future. She had been taking good care of Kedar, though people thought that he was paying for the sins he had committed in his previous birth. Most also believed that his sufferings was due to his bad temper. The diseased and dilapidated condition was a reflection of his inability of handling himself wisely. Santoshi is very positive that Kedar never wanted to be like the way he has been. It is the problem in his genes which is making the entire family and him suffer. Hence, they will support him all along. Shanti is now synonymous of a dependable domestic worker, working very hard so that her unfulfilled dreams of studying at least up to class 12 and then securing a job as a salesperson in some mall doesn't remain elusive for your younger sisters. She told me that one of her current employers is a manager in one of the shopping malls and has promised to help Sudha and Madhu get those enviable jobs at the shopping mall. Often, I see both of them standing next to Santoshi and Shanti, neatly dressed in their school uniform, with their oiled hair tied up with those typical red ribbons. Their happy faces tell me that they all are set to face the world and are part of a happy family. Overall, when I look at this bunch of ladies, I see four souls beaming with hope and confidence. I see a powerful blend of old, young, and very young working together, holding each other's hands strongly to face all the tides of life. I see love personified in these beautiful human beings. What a beautiful way it is to overlook the wrongdoings of Kedar by all of them. What an expression of patience and compassion towards his helplessness to help himself. I saw Santoshi's ego dissolve in pure love for her husband and her children. I saw hope dancing through the hard work and optimism of each of these vibrant individuals who I have been lucky to meet in my life. I have met many highly educated people with great worldly accomplishments in their personal and professional spheres. However, for the first time, I was meeting someone who displayed in real sense what we used to discuss in conferences and seminars: the human emotions, love, compassion, and gratitude. I found myself so small in front of these exemplary figures, and I fell in love with these ladies for the most beautiful attributes I had ever seen for quite some time in this selfish and self-centered world. Santoshi, Shanti, Sudha, and Madhu left soon after our meeting, but they still live in my memory for their unconditional love for each other, for their commitment to make each other's life good, and their determination to remain with each other in the truest sense. Trees growing, water flowing in the rivers, birds flying in the sky, children crawling on their beds, and pages of calendars getting changed after a while are nothing but instances of time running in different forms. The beauty of time is that it can only be experienced through these indirect means. Else, it is only an intangible phenomena, not understood and perceived in its fundamental form by our senses. No one has been able to see time. One can only see the footprints it leaves. This time, time left me in love with these wonderful individuals. I was no longer interested in reading the book I had recently purchased, which was titled Understanding Chemistry of Love, because I had seen myself what love could do through the lives of these four evolved human beings, Santoshi and a team of daughters. They were the very equation of unconditional love, compassion, and epitome of amazing emotions, which catapulted them to a higher order of thinking and way of life. I am in love with this equation from that moment onwards. I so wish that we all be blessed with Santoshi and Shantis in our family. Egoism by Ninja. Rahul Anand, Vice President, Marketing, was successfully placed not just in the big retail firm he was working with in Mumbai, but in the entire sector. He was a name synonymous with blockbuster sales, brand rise, quarterly growth, and more than anything, his no-nonsense attitude. His team and peers in the company would practice what they wanted to communicate to Rahul before coming into his office. Often, the CEO would take him to board meetings when he sensed the board would be aggressive. Such was the respect and reputation Rahul had garnered in the last 17 years, when he had only worked for this company. It was often heard on the grapevine that he was next in line for the top position. Straight out of IIT Delhi, armed with an engineering degree in chemical engineering, Rahul had the conviction and the vision to pursue a management degree from a premium Indian institute. In the early 90s, when studying management was not the typical choice for an engineer. He was happily married to Radhika, his childhood sweetheart from Delhi. Radhika was an achiever in her own way. She was the eldest of three siblings and had de facto responsibility of supporting her middle class family in her growing years. She had to take a private tuitions for children in her neighborhood to support her college education and started off with a modest job right after her graduation to add to her father's rather meager earnings in his clerical position at a popular cricket academy. In fact, Rahul had met Radhika at that cricket academy. He nurtured a strong desire to pursue cricketing as his career. Radhika often came to serve lunch to her father and also to help him with his computer skills. Young love blossomed eventually. Rahul, being the flamboyant and outgoing personality, professed his love for Radhika soon enough. And as destiny would have it, she stood by him through these years of education, which placed him away from Delhi and far from her. She used the time to save money to help her younger brothers follow their careers and some for her own wedding with Rahul. Married they did when they were in their mid-20s. Since the time they were married, Rahul was always the provider, taking care of not just the household necessities, but also the dreams they cherished together. The foreign vacations, getting their two lovely children to the best school in town, and other luxuries of life. Radhika played her role to perfection as the homemaker, in charge of what was most important in life, bringing up her children well, instilling values in them, supporting her family through thick and thin, even at the cost of her health, and at other times, leaving her personal goals behind. Post-marriage, whenever Radhika tried to pursue her career, something came up. The pregnancies, children needing attention, and the fact that Rahul was so ably earning for the family, which he would point out once in a while and would liberally allow her to be the queen. Yet at other times, he would remark saying, "You'd probably find a job, but it may not be worth your while." While Rahul was at the peak of his career, something fundamental was changing in the sector. For the first time in history, retail sales were slowly but surely moving online. Initially, everyone at Rahul's office, including him, thought of this as a passing fate. However, the frowns and creases of worry on everyone's faces were growing more prominent, as the sales trends displayed otherwise. The footfall shrank, and what looked like the downfall of the empire had begun. The things which used to work very well so far simply didn't work any longer. Something had to be done, and the organization was expecting Rahul to deliver, perform some magic and steer them out through this turmoil. Rahul was earnestly doing all he could, putting to use all the reserves and deploying his expertise to overcome the challenge.
However, the board of directors was not willing to give the company more time to adjust to the headlines. They figured that the company needed marketing mavericks in t-shirts and jeans, and it was time the old guard in suits made way for them. They were pressing hard to prove the point, and finally the CEO had to relent and fire Rahul. Rahul didn't take this lying down and immediately started to engage with this network. After all, he knew everyone who was worth knowing in the sector. He was pretty sure he'd be inundated with offers, better than the previous one, and perhaps this would help him leap to the forefront as a CEO. However, world traveled faster in this well-knit network, and all he could get from his erstwhile friends was sympathy. They were all fighting their own demons at that moment. He searched far and wide for a suitable offer that wouldn't miraculously appear. He couldn't take up anything that would severely dent something he valued, his pride. A year passed by and the pressure started to show on the finances. The first impact was on the lifestyle, then on the savings. The EMIs for their flat, the cars and the rest were huge, and the things that were manageable all these years suddenly were gobbling up the accumulated wealth. The family had to do away with the property in Delhi which they had bought a decade ago, and now were beginning to dip into their nest egg.
While the times were taking a toll on the entire family, Radhika was the most affected. It was not because she was in love with the wealth, lifestyle, or because she couldn't live without the luxuries they had got used to. It was because Rahul was down. She wanted to do her bit for the family, which she had always done in other ways. Radhika met a few of her friends and unexpectedly found herself a job with her neighbor's company. Their neighbor Vikas Khanna was a wealthy entrepreneur and was looking for someone who could help him in the position of an executive assistant for a few months, as his current colleague was on maternity leave. The role had a lot of multitasking, just what she was so good at. It excited her, and more importantly, it would provide the money to keep the family afloat. Radhika almost accepted the offer, but as an afterthought, said she would discuss it with the Rahul and get back to him. Vikas agreed. Rahul was his friend, golf partner, and drinks buddy after all. They knew each other's family very well. When Radhika discussed this over dinner, Rahul wasn't as pleased as he was trying to portray. It bothered him deep inside that his wife would now work for his friend, his equal. However, he had to keep this thought within himself, lest his modern beliefs in an equal rights advocate image got tarnished. He said something nice to pep up Radhika. Something to the tune of, "It's now your turn to fend for the family." That is what Radhika had always wanted to do. She took up the responsibility. Vikas was very pleased with how little hand-holding she needed to fit into such an important role. He would often joke about the fact that now he could afford to play golf endlessly, as she was adept enough to exercise her efficiency in the functioning of the company. Radhika was earning sufficiently to run the household, but that was not enough to pay for all the EMIs. They had to do something about it. The writing on the wall was to sell their beautiful villa and extra cars and rent an apartment instead. It would help them clear the loan and free themselves from the shackles of the big EMI web. Rahul's belief was shaken and his pride shattered when they said goodbye to their erstwhile neighbors and moved to their new rented accommodation. The harder he would fight, the harder he would get beaten down. He had two options: to bow down and learn, to continue fighting, hoping to triumph over the circumstances. There's a lesson behind every adversity. The sooner one learns from it, the faster the difficulty would disappear, he realized. He stopped fighting and looked around thoughtfully at what was happening in his life. In this eureka moment, Rahul figured out that his children were growing up fine. They went to the same school as before. The household was running smoothly, thanks to Radhika. Graciously enough, he had spare time in hand. For the first time in a long while, he felt this sense of deep gratitude towards God, his parents, his wife and children, and towards life for teaching him this invaluable lesson. He started playing golf more often, not to impress his clients or to secure business, but for the love of the game. His game became the talk of the club, and fortunately he was sponsored to play on the PGA circuits. He started winning a few games and the moolah was back, along with the honors and titles, of course. Strangely, this didn't bring in pride on Rahul's face. It brought in something better and worthwhile. That is humility.
Sweet Home by Andhita Ray. They had named it Silver Foundation. The doors of Radha's ancestral home had opened to welcome a group of old men and women who wanted to spend their old age surrounded by friendship, happiness and peace. Unperturbed by the world outside, karaoke music lovers in the house had decided to intoxicate themselves with melodies. The sitting room was a large airy space at the Bhubaneswar home. Until a few minutes back, some very soulful renditions had been delivered by a bunch of young-spirited ladies and gentlemen. Dinner was deliberately a light one, keeping in mind the harsh summer evenings. The melodious evening had completely shifted the focus from the food.
Radha and Jenny still had a sparkle in their eyes, almost refusing to accept that it had been a long day. The best part was that enthusiasm ran in their blood. Both soul sisters were inseparable and very happy with each other. Radha was dusky and plump, while Jenny was very tall and mittish in complexion. They had a zeal for life and had specialized in the craft of spreading joy, coupled with laughter, within minutes of conversation. When they began to bond in friendship one after another, things kept falling in place for a common life-changing goal. Radha called out to Jenny, "What a fabulous time we had. I wish I could have recorded all the performances." Jenny laughed out loud to answer, "Yes, dear Radha, you could have figured out where you left the cord to transfer pictures from the gallery of your phone. Yet you chose to remain quite a dinosaur." Some more laughter followed. Radha cheerfully promised the next time she would make sure to ask Rohan how to transfer pictures to her laptop. For a moment, Radha's face fell. An unspoken sadness, or she just got carried away, is not easy to predict. Yet, that wasn't the case for Jenny. She quickly stirred the conversation away and asked if all the preparations were done for breakfast next morning. Radha was familiar to Jenny's soft and kind manners. Rohan had finished his PhD from New York University and decided to make America his home. He got himself a brand new job, wife, and life. Radha had big dreams for her only child, Rohan. She cheered wholeheartedly for him from Indian soil. Rohan kept calling her regularly to inform that he'd soon pay a visit to take her to US. Well, everything used to happen over a telephonic chat. With time, the calls got lesser. Time zones that had existed earlier too had now become more apparent. The news of an about-to-arrive grandchild came, and the beautiful baby girl followed. The telephonic conversation had become very alive and was filled with color when she was asked by Rohan to invest in a smartphone, it was also to enable video calling. The busy lifestyle of the new Americanized Rohan dwindled away the calls from fortnightly to once in a month or two. Rohan's wife was a new-age, modern French-American lady with attachments only towards her immediate family. She bonded deeply with people of her world and quite less with people from another horizon. Radha thought it best to leave it at that, as it was better if each one lived their lives well. Her grandmotherly instincts did not stop her soul from worrying and being sad for beautiful granddaughter Ira. She sent her love and kisses over video calls whenever she got an opportunity. Radha had lost her husband very early in life. Her civil engineering degree had helped her to establish in the corporate world, though she was in her late 30s. It was a blessing from God that her parents were alive during Rohan's early stages and helped her bring him. It had become her only cause for living. Radha never wanted to remarry, as her dreams for Rohan involved time and required diligent efforts. Not once did she want to take any financial help from her brothers. Radha had always lived as an independent and active career woman. Jenny had been in a very long loveless marriage, serving her family as the dutiful wife and mother. After many years, truth unfolded in an ugly way. Her marriage, that had dragged on for many years, seemed a bigger burden with the passing of time. The house was left empty than ever when her twin daughters moved out for studies and career, followed by marriage. Jenny's husband hadn't cared for her earlier. Now he was more than happy, engrossed in his business, which was doing extremely well. Jenny knew that one day she would be all alone and lonely. Radha's folks died due to old age. Her son grew up soon and her brothers had their own families to look after. Post-retirement, she realized what loneliness is. Rohan had suggested her to join Facebook. He said it was a happy place to be in. She had her apprehensions as she was not good with technology, yet she consented, trying desperately to understand how to get there and exactly what to do there. Social networking after a certain age was like early school life science experiments. It took her a week to get the hang of it. She did manage it somehow. The good part was that through that platform, she could connect with many of her old-time school and college friends. Few of her old neighbors, relatives, and office colleagues connected with her. While updates and posts related to her hobbies like photography, gardening, and travel made it worth the effort, she liked seeing everyone happy and sharing their stories. Radha maintained a low profile as always. Days passed, life went on between household chores, cooking, gardening, spending time on Facebook. She was missing something deeply though. Sadly, she didn't know what it was. One day while gardening, Radha suddenly had a spasm and fell down. Thankfully, that day, few of her friends had planned for lunch together at Radha's place. Jenny was there too. Seeing Radha fall made her heart skip a beat. She was fearful that the worst had taken place. The vision of Radha going numb left Jenny devastated. She was desperate. It was sheer luck that Radha was rushed to the hospital immediately, and she survived the worst as she was being monitored by doctors at the golden hours of stroke. Rohan had no idea of anything until then. When he finally had, he made calls to the hospital requesting everyone to take care of his mother. He wanted the best care to be given to his mother. She had a one-side paralytic attack induced because of a stroke. In the midst of the hospital, doctors, treatment, care, physiotherapy, and few visiting friends, she felt at ease. She was happy for the stream of regular nurses and doctors checking about her health. It is said that some things happen for good. Rather, certain events are blessings in disguise. While recuperating, she observed that she had made new friendships with fellow patients who were living an abandoned life. It was better to talk to real people face to face than interact on Facebook. Like her, there were many old people who were receiving medical care, yet very few had families and friends visiting them to check on their progress. She had not looked into her phone and she did not really want to speak to Rohan. With anger, disappointment, and an acceptance, realigning herself to adapt to better living could not be easy, but she wanted to. Times had changed. There was no point in being bitter in life. She had decided right that there, on getting discharged, she would start working on her newfound mission. She had lived gracefully so far and life still had been quite good to her. People have far worse problems. Inner happiness is within us. She wanted to pursue her life, working towards helping others like her to find peace and happiness. She understood now what she was missing. She had a calling and luckily she still had the resources to advance with the plan brewing in her head. Radha decided to speak to Jenny. Suddenly, Radha and Jenny got very busy. She did not want her life to be hooked to one earnest wish waiting for Rohan's calls. She never felt it was essential to keep him informed about the developments. Jenny finally had her own set of things to run after too. After 6 months of hard labor, Silver Foundation came into being. Even in families near or far, she saw that the elderly people are left to themselves and in solitude. Radha wanted to give a family or friends to anyone who yearned for that kind of care and love. She felt that the place could have a reading corner, indoor games, karaoke, cooking area, baking corner, television, gardening options. Jenny suggested that as the old house had many large rooms, only a few more things could be added to get the desired outcome. What better use of a big old house with a garden? It was best to share the resource and give a part of life back to the society, she said. There was only one condition. The members who would live at Silver Foundation would have to teach a few courses at a nominal fee to children and young adults. Roles and responsibilities would be divided. A team of people from various backgrounds like administration, accounts, nursing, etc. would be appointed to help her run the Silver Foundation smoothly. The rest was history. Beyond a great bonding, they realized that they could efficiently work together for the cause of the elderly. Initially, Radha had thought of 10 members, but to her amazement, the numbers kept growing. Today, after 2 years, there were 15 of them. The home was all they had. Each person brought something to the table from their work or family experience. There were 2 former teachers, a yoga Ayurveda practitioner, 3 former administrators, 6 homemakers, 3 bankers, a painter, and a singer, along with others from different walks of life. What connected them was the interest to live their lives gracefully in peace and harmony. There were few issues, days of good health and ill health, yet there was a lot of togetherness and friendship to combat any problem. God works in a silent manner. Miracles do happen. The universe will give back what we give to the universe. When we decide to lead a life of mindfulness, compassion and gratitude, simple and greater joys are bound to come. Radha, Jenny and a room full of old people who are very young at heart were truly living their golden days.